I kind of measured it one day. It's about 8 feet under, as a matter of fact. At least I'm standing up as opposed to being horizontal. Betsy Lewis just ahead as we communicate with the other side in her new book, Communicating with the Other Side, next on Coast to Coast AM. Well, she's back, Betsy Lewis. Betsy, of course, is an intuitive Earth Mysteries investigator, host of Rainbow Vision Network. She has been investigating UFO sightings and mysterious cattle mutilations for more than 40 years. Since childhood, the paranormal was very normal for her as she experienced some precognitive dreams and visions. She was on with me back in November, and I welcome her back on Coast to Coast as we talk about her latest work, Communicating with the Other Side. Hey, Betsy, always a pleasure.
Oh, it's great to be back on the show, George. And I want to say my husband and I really enjoyed having you here in Boise, Idaho at the Egyptian Theater on March 22nd, meeting you, Tom, Jim Mars, Stanton Friedman, and Joshua P. Warren. It was great.
It's a great city. It was my first time in Boise.
Oh.
And I've got to tell you, I was pleasantly surprised. I mean, that is a well-run town.
Oh, it is. It's beautiful here. We have everything. A river that runs right through town and a bike path that goes on for miles. It's beautiful.
I was telling our investigative reporter, Linda Moulton Howe, when I came back, and of course, she told me, don't you remember, I was Miss Idaho.
That's right.
So she had fun. So tell me, what have you been up to?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I'll tell you, I thought my sister wanted to be on the show today with you. She passed away in 2003, and she has been communicating lately. It's been incredible. And if it wasn't for my husband witnessing everything that I've been witnessing, I would think I was just imagining things. But she has been turning off a stereo radio that we purchased last year. And it's been at certain times. Today she did it 3 times, and I walked into the room there. I said, well, Kathy, let me see if I can get you on video. And I took my laptop in there where she's been turning off the radio, and I ran the video, and I caught some lights on there. I wasn't in the room, and I posted it on YouTube, and it's also on my website. They can just go to my Earth News One and check it out.
These experiences that even happened to you, Betsy, at the age of 3, they just have never gone away, have they?
Oh, they haven't, George. It's just been amazing. When my mother told me when, I was 3 years old that I had 2 invisible playmates, which I believe were my spirit guides, and I would describe them. I gave them names. They would give me little secret messages, and slowly through the years, I guess I was probably 4, maybe 5 years old, they vanished from my memory. But my next experience was my grandfather. My beloved grandfather passed away when I was 8 years old, and I prayed that he would come back and visit me. And one night I woke up and saw this white gauzy image of a man standing beside my bed. And I was so frightened. I pulled the covers over my head, and I didn't surface until the next morning. And, of course, I told my mother about it, who believed in all these things. And she pulled out a family album and said, is this who you saw? And it was a picture of my grandfather when he was probably in his 20s in military uniform, and that was him. So I've had all these incredible things happen to me throughout my life, and I know the other side is real. I know it exists, and I've just had so many beautiful validations of it.
Betsy, have you followed or did you hear about this recent story of this little 3-year-old boy in the Golan Heights? It's an incredible story of how he has a birthmark on his head, a big line, and he kept telling his parents that somebody had killed him with an axe in the head. And so I guess the custom there is that, they take him to someone. There was a doctor there, and they started, taking him around the Golan Heights, and he actually pointed to an area where he said he was buried. They had it dug up, and lo and behold, they found a skeleton with an axe slice in the head.
Oh, my goodness.
Unbelievable. He then found the weapon. He pointed them. And then his last act was, he said, I can show you who killed me. And he takes them to the home of the killer, or the alleged killer, and they confronted the guy, and they said, this little boy claims that in another life you killed him with an axe, a chop to the head. The guy starts to shake, Betsy, doesn't admit anything, basically says, now, you know what, the kid's crazy. I didn't have anything to do with this. This is ludicrous. They said, we have found the skeleton and the weapon as well. He confessed.
Isn't that something?
Now, if that doesn't tell you, besides everything you've done, that the other side exists, then you'll never believe it.
Oh, of course. And there's so many other stories of children who recall past lives. How about that little boy that remembered he was a World War II pilot?
Yep, the Chicago boy, I think.
Names and everything. It's just remarkable. And how can you deny that reincarnation doesn't exist? It has to exist. It's just incredible. And my mother recalled a past life in China, and she said she was a worker building the Great Wall of China, and she was actually buried inside. And at the time when she told me that years and years ago, they didn't know that, you know, workers were actually buried inside the wall, the Great Wall.
Oh, gosh.
Isn't that something? Yeah.
Your mother was gifted. She was a psychic. You have this ability, too. Do you believe it's genetic, then?
I think so. But, you know, George, I have to say, I think we all are, you know, gifted with a sixth sense. Our ancestors certainly had to exist and survive in the wild before there was televisions, before there was cell phones. They had nothing to help them survive when a huge storm. They had to trust their intuition, and I think we've forgotten how to use that. And actually communicating with the other side, too. I think that our family and beloved people that have departed are always with us, and right there, it's only frequency that separates us. They watch us, they hear us, and they give us signs all the time, but we just ignore them and think they're not real.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. They think it's not real, and that's when I think they lose that. You, with this incredible ability, you kind of blocked yourself from this gift for a couple of years. In high school, was it, or when was that?
Well, yeah, it was in high school. I kept having visions of three classmates dying in a car accident. In fact, my very good friend, Nancy, was killed in a car accident. And when they all died in separate car accidents, I didn't want to know about these horrible things anymore. And so I started blocking everything. I said, no more, no more. So, but of course, Spirit wasn't going to let me, you know, push it aside. They wanted to come through still. So, I get dreams, precognitive dreams that have warned me so many times. They have shown me earth events. They've shown me major events and personal events. And even my life has been saved many, many times. I think my spirit guides on the other side are so tired of saving me. They're probably saying, you've used up your nine lives.
Yeah, I bet. Well, you know, with this ability that you had and then you stopped, were you able to warn the classmates of something impending, or did you not?
Well, I didn't, because I didn't trust my intuition. Right, I didn't. And, you know, I thought maybe somehow if you tell someone something, that maybe you're creating the event. Do you know what I'm saying, George?
Yeah, kind of plant the seed in their
right
head.
Right, exactly. And, you know, I felt that with my sister when she was very young, and I was, you know, just as young, 3 years older than she was, probably around 10 years old. I had a vision that she was going to die young, and I thought she was going to die as a child. So as a child, I believed that if I made her walk backwards for a whole day, that maybe I would change her fate. And she did it, of course. But she died at 50, which I think is quite young.
And that is young, yeah.
She has been back so many times, I can't even begin to tell you. It's just amazing.
How did she come back, in what form?
I'm sorry, what was that again?
In what form did she come back?
Well, the first time, it was a few months after she had passed away. And what's really interesting is that my father, who had passed away in 1985, came to warn me. I just heard him call my name so clearly one morning. And I had told my sister, she was in Argentina when she passed away, and I told her that my father, you know, our father was near and watching her and going to be there for her, and how strange it was that she passed away on his birthday. So I knew that validation that he was there to take her to the other side. But shortly after that, my husband and I were sitting out on our patio, and we were having our coffee, and there was a little tree that I had put her wind chimes on. And suddenly the little tree, it was just a little tiny thing still, but it started shaking like somebody had their hand on it. It was really shaking. And I thought, well, maybe it's an earthquake. There was no earthquake that day. There was no wind. So I said out loud, I said, Kathy, if that's you, please show me again. And it happened again a week later. So I didn't hear from her for a while. And then just this past July of 2013, she came through again in a dream. She was showing me that she was having a surprise birthday party. And I believe that when we have these vivid, vivid dreams of our beloved, departed loved ones, that they are really there, that we communicate with them. But she kept saying, I'm having a surprise birthday party for you. And I kept saying, no, it's not my birthday. But what's really strange is 3 hours later, my daughter called me from Nashville, and she said, you are now a great-grandmother. Your granddaughter just had a little boy, and he was 5 weeks premature. So isn't that amazing? She was celebrating his birthday.
It sure is. It's really marvelous how that happens. Do most departed loved ones come back?
You know, I think they do. I think in some form. And sometimes it's just little subtle things. We can smell their perfume, or maybe it's Uncle Charlie's cigar. Or didn't you have a guest on your show that was talking about a radio dial that was moving in his car?
Oh, yeah. We get all kinds of these strange calls. I mean,
right.
All
well,
the
things
time.
Like that. And how can you deny it? And with my sister, right during Thanksgiving, it started with our radio turning off. And it kept happening.
No, I hope not when I'm on the air.
Watch out. Something might happen. She's been pretty active. But
tell her to turn it on, not off.
Well, it was always the cool oldies. And I knew it was her because the first time it happened, it was the Everly Brothers singing Kathy's Clown. And that was a song that I sang to her and she loved. During that time. Isn't that funny?
I would turn it off too, Kathy's Clown. Not one of my favorite songs.
Well, she loved it, so. But it kept happening, and it would happen like at 10 minutes to 7 in the morning, 20 minutes later, and it was always intervals. And we thought, well, maybe it's an electrical thing. Maybe we're imagining this. But then we saw some utensils actually levitate off the counter of the kitchen. And then one night my cat was in our hallway, and there's no light source through there or anything. We have a photograph of her in the hallway, and my cat was hissing like crazy. His hair was on end. And I knew that she was there. He scared the cat. The cat just freaked out. So that was another way. And then one morning I woke up early to see a flash of light go through the hallway. And we just kept having these strange things. My husband's computer kept turning off. That was another thing. So we knew that she was trying to tell us something. I thought, well, maybe she's telling me that someone's going to pass, because I've had that happen. And then I started realizing I was supposed to write a book, and I started working on this book. And sure enough, that's what I felt that she was telling me, that she wanted people to know that the other side does exist.
Because, you know, because you've been an expert in UFOs and cattle mutilations and angels. Was this different for you, this work, communicating with the other side?
You know, the supernatural has just been a part of my life, and I think it's quite natural, actually. I think that the other side, the other dimension, there's so many dimensions out there, and it's just amazing that, you know, we're just starting to learn about all these dimensions, but I think there's many, many forms of life in these dimensions, maybe a parallel Earth. I think it just goes on. And, you know, there's even stories. Even Raymond Fowler wrote about it in his Watchers 1 and 2, that Betty, Andreas, and Luca, and many people have had near-death experiences and seen their relatives with aliens, believe it or not.
When you started writing about this, was there anything, Betsy, specifically that you learned about the other side that you did not know before?
Well, what I've learned is many different things about the other side, that we do reincarnate. We come back to learn lessons of love and forgiveness, and we keep coming back. We don't have to come back right away. Some people come back as couch potatoes, spiritual couch potatoes, I call them, and they don't have to do anything while they're here. Others come back because they know they have a mission, they have something to do in life, and they accomplish that. And you can come back as many times as you want. All of us, I believe, have come back hundreds, maybe thousands of times. And we may incarnate on other planets too, other realities. So that's one thing that's just amazing. I've always felt that life was a spiral, that time as we know it doesn't exist. The past, present, and future are all happening all at once. And many times we jump into the future with a feeling of deja vu.
That's true.
Have you had that happen?
I have that happen quite a bit. It's a weird feeling.
It is, isn't it?
I always thought deja vu years ago might have been some kind of warp in time,
where it
had happened, but you knew it happened because you were there, you did it, or you already heard the person or whatever. But it was a moment of time. It may have been a few seconds, but that there was some kind of bend. Is that possible too?
I think so. Absolutely. I think there's so many mysteries out there yet to be explored, and you know, I don't think I have all the answers, not even, you know, a portion of those answers. I wish I did, but it's just amazing.
In your studies, have people reported seeing this heaven and hell?
You know, I believe that it's like the movie What Dreams May Come with Robin Williams, the 1998 movie. Do you remember that movie?
Yeah, the part I'll always remember of when he's in hell, supposedly, stepping on the faces of all those people who were down like in the muck looking up at him.
Oh, wasn't that scary? That was so scary.
I mean, there he was, like, squashing people as he was walking and running.
Right. Well, I believe that we actually... What is happening is when we get on the other side, we're pure energy. So our thoughts form our world. It's instant. And here it takes longer. We can create our reality, but it does take longer. But on the other side, you're pure energy. And if you believe in a hell, and many people have talked about having a hell experience when they have a near-death experience, right? And some see heaven. So I believe that's why, because of their belief. If you believe, if you had a terrible life and you're going to go to hell, you're going to experience
that. Let's talk about pets and souls when we come back. Have you watched our free television show yet, Beyond Belief? You can, 10 days free. Plus, you can look at every video you can in those 10 days. Just lock yourself in your house and go for it. Here's the website to sign up, www.beyondbelief.com. Welcome back. Betsy Lewis with us. Betsy, so we're talking about heaven and hell and pets. Do you believe pets have souls? What happens to them?
Oh, George, they do have souls. They have beautiful souls, and they reincarnate, and people that believe that they don't, how can you say that? That's like saying we don't have souls, because they have emotion, they have personalities, they think, they save people, they've done heroic things, they have a sixth sense. They're just amazing. They may not have the souls that we do, but they are evolving. Everything is evolving, and they're just amazing. Look at the sea creatures, the dolphins, the amazing intellect they have, the whales, everything does. And the people that are out there that harm them, that abuse animals, they think that what they do won't count, and let me tell you, it will count on the other side. It just bothers me so much and hurts me so much to see animals abused, and, that's going on so much.
Some people reportedly see paw prints, like, in their beds of their deceased animals. How in the heck does that happen? Why haven't they moved on?
Well, they are still there. They're comforting their owners. They stay around for a while.
Are you still there?
Yes, I'm sorry.
Okay, thought you fell off the phone line or something like that. Okay.
But they are here. They are right next to us for a while, and then they go over for a while, and there's guardian angels. I had a dream of one of my dogs, and a guardian angel came and told me that the dog was going to pass, and sure enough, the dog did. It had a fox tail in it, and it actually went into the spinal area, and the dog became paralyzed, and we had to put the dog down.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, I know. So it was just horrible. But, I've had pets all my life, and I've had horses, I've had dogs and cats, and I see the incredible intellect and wisdom in them. In fact, I don't know if you've ever seen this video. It's by an animal whisperer communicator named Anna in South Africa. And she communicates with a leopard, a black leopard, that was in a Jacarni, I think it's called, wild reserve. And this animal was so angry because it was mistreated in a zoo. And it is so amazing that she calmed it down right away. She could look into its eyes. She said it had such wisdom. In fact, I have it on my my website, on my Earth News One. They can go there and view the incredible events of it. It's just amazing.
Well, they just came out with a story a few days ago that fruit flies actually think before they act.
Yeah.
That's an amazing story.
I know. Yeah, just incredible.
They have these little brains and these little thought patterns, and they decide what they're going to do. There's no doubt about that.
George, and animals have a sixth sense. You probably heard about that cat at a nursing home that would go in and jump on the lap of the person that was going to pass away next.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
I sure did. It's a great story. As you look at this, what lessons have you learned from the things you've researched, maybe your own personal episodes?
I've learned that it's so important to tell your loved ones every day how much you love them and how much they mean to you, because life is short. We never know when we're going to go. We're going to go to the other side. And, I have found out that love is forever. We many people fear death. And why should we fear it? Because it's beautiful. It's you're free of pain, and you're in a beautiful place where your loved ones are. And you're there to learn. You can do whatever you want. Whatever you want to learn, you can learn. I believe that many of the gifted people, prodigies out there, have probably reincarnated many times to learn their gifts. And they, you know, they come back. They can learn on the other side. You can learn anything you want on the other side. And there's teachers over there to teach you whatever you want. Just think of it, George, a great big college on the other side. It's there for us.
Well, you know, there's no doubt in my mind that there's something on the other side, that it's there. It's very real. It's part of what we are. It's part of this universe.
It is.
It's the stepping stone, I think, to our own existence, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I believe that so much. And, you know, everything is a lesson here for us. Everything that happens, I don't believe in coincidences. Anything that happens is meant to be. And the people that come into our lives we've known before, you know, I believe that people that die en masse have chosen to go at the same time. And, you know, it's just not a coincidence, like that flight 370, that Malaysian flight, all those people dying all at once, they chose that. And I know that sounds strange, but I believe we pick our parents. We choose what kind of lessons we're going to learn with them. And people that die en masse will reincarnate again together and play out whatever they need to learn in the next lifetime.
How quickly do you think that reincarnation process occurs?
Ah, good question. I think that depends. In India, there are many, many stories of children reincarnating right away. And even, you know, like the Dalai Lama remembered his past incarnation as the previous Dalai Lama. There are just many stories, but usually about 100 years people wait to incarnate.
100 years?
100 years. But on the other side, 100 years, there's no time on the other side, so it goes by very, very quickly.
I would think that they would reincarnate, like, within minutes after they died.
You think so?
But I would hope so.
Well, I would think that they have to go through the life review, which is normal. Many people talk about that. I know that Daniel Brinkley has talked about it, that he experienced that with his near-death experiences, that you see the tunnel and you go through that, and then you have a life experience. Everything that you've said, done, thought is recorded on the cosmic computer out there, and you review. You are the judge, not God. God does not judge you. We judge ourselves. And how hard is that? And we decide when we want to come back.
The two little boys we just talked about with reincarnation, the little boy who knew he was a World War II pilot flying Concorde planes, and then this little boy in the Golan Heights. Most people don't remember their past lives unless they're put under hypnosis. Mm-hmm. Why is that? Why are we blocked from truly remembering the other side in our physical being in this existence without, you know, having to be hypnotized?
Can you imagine remembering all these past lives and trying to separate it? I mean, our lives are more so complicated now. Can you imagine all that coming through, filtering through? You'd remember family members, you'd remember all kinds of things, and how confusing that would be. And maybe there are people that way, and they're in institutions because of it.
Well, it's hard enough sometimes to remember this life, isn't it?
It is. Exactly, George.
Tell us about the episode you had back in the 60s in a house in California in Beverly Hills.
Oh, my goodness. That was one of the strangest things of my life. My sister and I were sent to live with our great aunt in Hollywood for a year, and that was quite an experience in itself, moving from Idaho to L.A.
Huge jump.
Yeah. while I was going to Fairfax High, and I'm sure you know about Fairfax High, I heard that Mark Lindsay of Paul Revere and the Raiders, was living in Beverly Hills off of Benedict Canyon, and I convinced a friend to take me to his house. She knew where he lived, and I had met him here in Idaho because they started out in Idaho. They played at my father's resort. We had an Idaho lake resort down in the Snake River Canyon.
Were you a little groupie, Betsy?
No, well, let's not say that, George.
Had that.
But, yeah, she drove me up there, and there was a gate, and I rang the gate and kept ringing it, and finally someone came out, and it was the caretaker, and he said that Mark Lindsay, who was living with Terry Melcher, who was Doris Day's son and music producer, he was out of town. In fact, I believe Candace Bergen, actress Candace Bergen, was living at the house too. And he said, I'll give you a tour. And I said, great. So he took me inside and walked around. And I had the most incredible, overwhelming feeling that, you know, it just bothered me. There was something just so dark in the room. It was well furnished. There was no reason for me to feel that way, but I felt sick to my stomach. You know, it's so hard to describe how I felt, but I wanted to get out of there so fast. And, you know, I just couldn't imagine what was going on there. But what's really strange is 3 years later, this was in 1969, on August 9th, 1969, Sharon Tate, the wife of director Roman Polanski, she was 8 months pregnant, and their caretaker, Stephen Parent, Jay Sebring, he was a hairdresser, Abigail Soldier, and someone else, there were all murdered by Charles Manson.
He directed them to be murdered.
Yeah. Yes, right. Well, he wasn't there, right? His followers. And it was just the most terrific thing. And you know what's really strange? The street that it's on is Cielo, which is Spanish for heaven or sky.
Wow.
And I know, that's so weird. And I guess other people have said that strange things went on in that house even before the murders took place. And I think somebody was on Coast to Coast years ago that said that they have seen Sharon Tate's ghost.
Yes.
Yes,
he has toured the place many times. Mm-hmm. I think they're going to film something there. What a strange. So you picked that up 3 years,
before
it actually happened.
Exactly.
Have you had other feelings or predictions of the future?
Oh, George, I have. I have had so many different things. I was warned about Robert Kennedy's assassination in 1968, and I didn't understand the dream. Many of my dreams are symbolic, but I dreamed that a gypsy held my hand. She was a palm reader, and she took her finger, her long fingernails, and cut a cross into the middle of my palm, and I didn't understand it. And then what's really strange is my mom and I lived just a few blocks from the Ambassador when it happened, and that night, June 6th of 1968, he was assassinated, and it was just so weird. And you know what's really strange? Years later, I worked for CBS Channel, the news channel in L.A., and one of the reporters there told me, she said, I was there, she said, and she saw someone else shoot Robert Kennedy. She said that she was right there, they grabbed Sirhan, but that wasn't who shot him. And I said, well, why haven't you gone public about it? And she said, do you know how many people have died that reported what they saw when John F. Kennedy was assassinated?
Oh, yeah, very strange.
Right.
So she's holding back. So what else do you see? And I mean, do you see anything in the future now?
Well, what I've been sensing is the major, major earthquakes going on, and I've been getting really dizzy before it happens. So I know that something's going to happen. I just get these feelings, you know, kind of a sick feeling to my stomach, the nausea, and I know many, many people have been feeling. We've had some huge earthquakes in the last couple of months, and I see something happening happening in the South Pacific, somewhere around Indonesia, another huge mega earthquake, mega thrust, I think they call them, which produced tsunamis. But I've felt that for a long time. But I feel that there's going to be more major earth changes, more of these sinkholes forming, meteors coming into our atmosphere, asteroids, near misses. And we're just going to see strange things in the sky, which we already are. Many people are talking about all these orbs, right? These orange balls of light, right?
There's just what pleasant thoughts. You're not seeing a very bright future, are you?
Well, you know, I think our planet is evolving. Everything is evolving. And I think right now, Mother Earth needs to cleanse herself. You know, we're at the point of no return. She is dying. And I know people don't want to face that. We all want to be in denial, but there are so many things happening to her. Our waters, our oceans are dying. The fish are being depleted. You know, our waters everywhere are becoming toxic. Drought situations, the fracking that's going on. You know, we can't continue this way with 7 billion people on the planet. Can we, George?
You can't. No, you can't. No. And to me, there's a big difference, too, between climate change and pollution and destroying the planet.
Right.
And that can't be tolerated at all. Your mother, we got some time here before the break. Your mother married the brother of the guy who wrote The Exorcist, right?
You got that right, yes.
How in the heck did that happen?
Well, she met Maurice Blatty. We called him Mo Blatty at a dating service in Beverly Hills. And that was in 1971. And he took her to a nice restaurant in Newport, drove her back home, and threw a book on her lap and said, "Read this. My brother wrote it." And she looked at it, and it was The Exorcist by William Peter Blatty. And, of course, it didn't really mean anything to her. He grabs the book back to her and signs the book and said that his brother gave him power of attorney to sign all his books. He was a character.
It had not become a movie at that point, right?
No, it hadn't. No, not yet. No. No, that came out in 1974. But what's interesting about Bill Blatty is he conducted a lot of paranormal experiences with reel-to-reel tapes. And,
he was into all that.
We're going to run out of time here soon, but
we got a couple minutes. He was into all the unusual stuff, wasn't he?
Oh, well, you know, a lot of people don't know that he was a comedy writer. He was known for Pink Panther scripts. Screenplays, and What Did You Do in the War, Daddy? I mean, that was what he was known for in Hollywood, and he decided to write The Exorcist to prove that he could write something other than comedy, and of course...
Well, he could. He sure proved it.
Yes, he did. But he did a lot of experiments. He said after his mother passed away that he had phones that were flying around in the house, and... just some amazing things, but he did reel-to-reel tapes and ended up with EVP messages, electronic voice phenomenon, and he picked up some just incredible things when he played it on, you know, I guess on slower speed, he picked up things he would ask, like, does God exist? And then when he waited a few minutes, he'd play it back, and he would get a male voice that clearly said the word Lacey. The second time he replayed the tape, it said Hope It, which he believed referred to his original question. And some of his experiments produced phrases like, I know what you're thinking, there's no space here, make them pray, Bill. So he sent the original tape to a friend at Columbia University who ran it through a spectrograph. And the analysis revealed that the voice wasn't human. They said in order to create such an effect, an artificial larynx had to be built and programmed to say those words. Isn't that amazing?
Betsy, let's talk more. It sure is. We're going to take some calls with you about communicating with the other side next.